Well, as I said, today marks the first Sunday of Advent, and it's an important day in the life of the church. In fact, for the church universal, not just this church or the Methodist church, but for all of the other Christian denominations, today is the first day of a new year in the life of the church. So unlike the calendar year, where we begin on January 1st, the church's new year begins today on the first Sunday of Advent. And one of the things I love about Advent is it's about all new beginnings. And if there was ever a time, I think, with 2020 the way it's been, if we ever needed a new beginning, it's now. I believe that with all my heart. Do you know where the word, you know, we use these ancient words that have Latin derivatives from the original Latin, but sometimes people don't even understand what it means. And Advent is taken from the Latin root word of adventus, which means to come, something's coming, expecting something to come. Now, you wouldn't wait at a bus stop if you didn't think the bus wasn't coming, right? You expect the bus to arrive. Well, Advent is all about celebrating the first Christmas, right? The coming of the Christ child on that first Christmas in Bethlehem. But for Christians, it's also about the second coming. We believe that Jesus is going to come again victorious to retrieve his bride, the church. And so there are two comings that we celebrate during Advent, the first and then the second coming of our Lord. And so there's great expectation that surrounds this whole season of Advent. And one of the traditions of the church during this season is the Advent wreath. And our beautiful acolyte lit the first candle this morning. And there's five candles there, and one in the middle is the Christ candle that we would light on the during the Christmas Eve service, which means we finally celebrate and remember that Jesus did come. And so the others are preparation for that. And they stand for hope, love, joy, and peace. And I think those are three exceptional attitudes that we need today in this society, where peace is ever fleeting from us, and joy sometimes is ripped out of us, and hope is another one, and of course, love. What the world needs now is more love, if ever before. It's needed now. And so we're on a journey this week. And we're on a journey for the next 4 weeks. And where are we journeying to? We're journeying to Bethlehem to worship the Christ child and to remember all of the significance surrounding this birth. This is a birth like no other birth in all of history. And so the first candle that was lit this morning represents hope. Hope. You see, before Jesus' first coming, the people of Israel were filled with hope and anticipation, expecting the Messiah to arrive any moment to deliver them from all that they were going through. But we as post-Christmas and Easter Christians know that he already came. So again, our anticipation and our hope is just as exciting as the original Israelites who were anticipating the Messiah's first coming. We're waiting for his second coming when he retrieves us, his bride, the church. And we don't wait in vain. But as we wait, we're not to be idle. We're to be active and living and affecting our world the best way we can, the people around us, our families, our community, our society. And so we are a people of hope, and therefore we should be able to exhibit hope for others who may not have hope. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt things were hopeless? We all have. Doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. Have you ever met somebody who it appears they had lost all hope? It's a terrible place to find yourself. Oftentimes you feel alone. You're desperate. You need answers. And you're struggling. Maybe struggling to even get out of bed in the morning. Because it seems that hope has just been ripped out of your very being. And so we're to live as a people of faith and a people of hope so others might see that. And I know these past 8 months has numbed us. It really has. I don't know. I mean, my parents lived through the Great Depression. Maybe, you know, they're no longer with us, but perhaps they could say that was a tough season. The pandemic in 1918, I don't think anybody's around who lived through that. But there have been seasons where societies have suffered. And I think this pandemic and everything that we've experienced in 2020 has numbed us and may have taken away some of the hope that we had when the year first started. But I want to tell you there is hope. There's not only hope for ourselves, I believe there's hope for this nation. And I believe there's hope for the world. I'm not going to give in to hopelessness. No matter how grim things look on the news or whatever, I believe there are still some of our better days ahead. If we could just keep our heads up and focused on God, I truly believe there is hope. And if there was ever a season that exhibits this, it's the season of Advent. Remembering that Christ broke into a hopeless world and gave all of us hope. But in spite of the heaviness that was laid on the backs of the Israelites, remember, they had a tough season too. They were living under the strain and the dominion of the forceful arm of the Roman Empire. And so their backs were heavy laden with all kinds. They were overtaxed. They were mistreated, and yet they still looked toward God for hope, knowing that the Messiah, the Savior, would eventually come. And so Jeremiah's words this morning and other words of the great prophets reminded the people of Israel, don't give up. Stay focused. Don't look to the left or to the right. Don't focus on what's going on in your society and around you. Stay focused on God. The prophets were people of God who would speak on behalf of God to the people of God. So they were speaking, if we're going to use it in today's context, they would be speaking to the church, saying, don't lose hope, don't lose focus. Keep your attention on God no matter what's happening around you. And so Jeremiah says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. And what does that tell me? God never goes back on his promises. God's word, the Bible says, never returns void. And so if God promised it, God will keep that promise. And he says, behold, the days of coming when I will fulfill my promises. We have to walk in the promises of God when we're going through those deepest and darkest moments in our lives. Now, mind you, before the resurrection, and I'm fast forwarding to Easter now, of course, but before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the people of Israel had to go to the temple and sacrifice animals. Whether it was a goat or a bull or a lamb or pigeons for those who were poor, such as Mary and Joseph did. And they had to keep repeating it to cover their sins. So in other words, you'd go to the temple, and I thank God they don't do that anymore because I would quit the ministry. I'm definitely not sacrificing German shepherds on the altar, okay? But you would have to go to the temple, you'd present this animal, and the priests would sacrifice it, and that animal would take on your sins. And you'd have to keep doing it. And that was the way they operated until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Jeremiah says in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, that there will come a time when the throne will never be empty. And he's not talking about an earthly king. He says the throne will never be empty, but seated on that throne will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And that's where he's seated right now. And so what does that mean for us? How do you apply that to our life? It means that no matter what you've done in your life, no matter what you may have messed up in your life, it's covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that's something to be excited about. How would you feel if you were facing a life sentence and you got a pardon? You think you'd be jumping for joy? I know I would. Well, we were given a life sentence, and we were pardoned by Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So when we're looking at the manger, we got to keep looking 33 years ahead to what he fulfilled, why he came into this world to begin with. I want to share a little story with you that I read this week, and I hope I can remember it, but it touched me. There was a gentleman, he was an older gentleman, he was very wealthy, and he was an avid art collector. In fact, he had the largest art collection, one of the largest art collections in the world. He had Rembrandts, Picassos, Vasquez, some of the biggest name artists of all time. He had pieces of work hanging in his home. And he had one son. He was a widower. And he had one son. And that son was drafted, and he was taken into the army during war. And when his son was overseas fighting in the war, while he was a medic, and while he was saving the life of another soldier, he was mortally wounded and died on the battlefield. And the father received that notice. And it killed the father. I mean, he was hurting so badly. But about a year later, a young soldier knocked on the father's door. And when he opened the door, he was startled. Why is there a soldier here at my home? And the soldier said, "Sir, I served with your son. And your son saved my life. And I just wanted to come here and say thank you. And I did something that I hope you will accept out of my appreciation. I'm not really an artist. I'm an amateur artist. I painted a portrait of your son that I'd like to give you." And he opened it up. And, you know, it wasn't the greatest painting in the world. But he had painted it with his hands from his heart. And the father received that painting as if it were a Rembrandt. And he removed a Rembrandt over the mantle and replaced it with that son's, that gift of the son's portrait. Well, about a year later, this old gentleman passed away. There were no family members living. So all of his art went up for auction. And the auctioneer, the place was packed because they knew this guy had one of the biggest collections in the country. And so the auctioneer started the auction. The first thing he held up was the portrait that soldier painted. And everybody started booing. "Where's the Rembrandts? Where's the Picassos? We don't want to bid on this portrait, this ill-painted portrait of the son." And the auctioneer says, "This was the will of the owner, that this must be auctioned first." And nobody would bid on it. They laughed. And finally, somebody who knew the father said, "You know what? I'm going to get this over with." And he bid $10 on that portrait. And he won it because no one else bid on it. And with that, the auctioneer said, "The auction is over." And everybody said, what are you talking about? Where are the Rembrandts? And he said, the will of the Father was, whoever accepted the Son will take it all. Will take it all. And when I read that this week, I thought to myself, whoever receives the Son, Jesus Christ, we take everything that we need. Now, we may want a lot of things. I'm talking about what we really need is forgiveness and redemption and reconciliation with God in spite of all the mess-ups that we have made in our lives. All of the hope of the coming Messiah hinges on the true purpose of why he came in the first place, and that was to set us free from sin and from death. That's what Advent speaks to me. That's what hope is all about. Because if we weren't able to do that, there would be no hope. And so the lighting of that candle is extremely important. And so I'm a little bit behind, but there's a shepherd kneeling at the foot of the manger, looking at the Christ child. Their eyes were gazing on this gift, realizing that what was wrapped up in that swaddling clothes was and is the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. Could you imagine I've been to Bethlehem many times, but I can't imagine what it must have been like to come out of those fields and to kneel at the foot of the manger and gaze one's eyes upon the Christ child. Remember what the angels declared that day or that evening? Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people, including us, this morning, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Friends, he's our Christ. He's our Savior who awaits us in Bethlehem. And every day over the next 4 weeks, we're on a journey. We're on a journey acknowledging and living as a people who have been set free no matter what is going on around us in our society. And so when the news gets to you, look toward the Christ child. When you feel like you're losing hope, realize that your hope could be found in him. When you feel like you don't have strength to carry on, call on him to help you strengthen yourselves, to take one more step. That's all it takes. One more step, and then another. And before you know it, you're going to come out of that rut that you're in, that we have been in the past 8 months. And so to me, that candle and this season represents us being cut loose from a year that has been unbelievably hard on all of us. Are you ready to embrace that journey? Are you ready to move forward with great anticipation? Are you truly the bride of Christ? Amen. Amen. Amen.